We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Delight, the White Shepherd. How are you?
Yeah. Every time you do that, I think, ding, 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 come on.
I'm going to have to bring my gloves and my finger.
Don't throat punch anybody today. Okay. Especially since I'm here. My throat tender, you know.
Yeah, he told me no throat punchings allowed.
Yeah.
So sometimes I had to put a bubble in it and put my hands in my pocket.
We do
so
that,
don't we?
So I
can be obedient.
Well.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located here in Elk City, Oklahoma. I covered it all, thank
you. You got it.
Would you please pray to start us out?
I will. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful that you gave us another day to wake up and to enjoy your presence, to be loved by you, to walk in grace, to walk in love. Lord, to allow you to show up big in our lives. And Father, we're here gathered in this little room. Three people inside this room, but Father, so many others joining us by faith. And Father, we come together in your name, Jesus. And we're asking for your presence. We're asking you to visit us here today. We're asking you to lead us by your Holy Spirit. We need you more than we even know. But we know we need you. We need your power. We need your grace. We need your love flowing in us and through us. To help us live and be the people you desire us to be and created us to be. Father, we thank you for continuous forgiveness through Jesus Christ that washes us and cleanses us. That by your blood, Lord Jesus, we are made pure and we are able to have fellowship with Father God. We ask, Lord, that you bless each one who's listening. Lord, you know our every need. And Father, when we come before you in a few minutes with prayer requests, Lord God, we are going to set our faith in agreement, knowing that you are the God of miracles, the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you right now, already, for the wonderful things you're doing and will do in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. I did forget something. If you would like to be entered into the book giveaway for February, all you have to do is like, share, and then comment done. The book for this month is A City on Our Knees by Toby Mac. Okay.
City on our knees. We need a nation on our knees, don't
come
we?
On.
We, you know, but God's doing that, and he's not, thank God he's not knocking us to our knees, because he can do that. He's drawing us to our knees by his love and by his grace. I don't know, I'm sure probably no one's listening to me this morning that hasn't heard of the Asbury Revival going on in Kentucky and how it's spreading. And it's, but you know, revival's not just in the places that you hear about in the news. Revival's probably happening. I just say this. I know revival happens every time we come together for church because, in my mind, revival, the revival that you see at Asbury is a wonderful outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. And we kind of sometimes will look at a crowd and we'll lose sight of the fact that what that is an it's an individual work and an individual life by their individual Savior. And anywhere lives are being changed, that's revival. That's anywhere someone's awakening and seeing things fresh and new from God's perspective, that's awakening. And so a revival and awakening is going on, and we want to see it on great scale. We want to see those revivals breaking out. And what a wonderful place for it to happen, huh? In a college. And our young people, Lord, have been, they have been assaulted. They have been assaulted by misinformation and lies. And thank God he's pouring out this Holy Spirit upon our young people and upon all whose hearts are hungry. And what the Holy Spirit always does more than anything else is bring truth and reveal truth about God and about Jesus. And, you know, young people aren't looking for religion. They're looking for a relationship with God. Most of them have in their mind already that they're not all that excited about churchy things. And this is a great opportunity for us as the church to be a living church, not a building with brick and mortar and symbolism and rituals, but to be a living, breathing church, the body of Jesus Christ, and be that inside those walls of that building we meet together. You know, when someone comes in and maybe they're not dressed the way we are or whatever, you know, to not even bat an eye, but just be excited. I guarantee you, Monica can testify to this. You come in our church, I don't care how you're dressed or what's going on in your life, we're going to be excited that you're there, and we're going to love on you and let God love on you. And I believe that that's the way we need to be every day of the week. You know, some people get on their Sunday best for Sunday, and I don't just mean their clothing. I mean they put their best foot forward. We get around other believers, and we put our best foot forward. We mind our manners when we're around such and such and such and such. But the truth of the matter is that the Lord knows everything we do, everything we think, everything we say, and he loves us no matter what. But I know there are a lot of things that can creep into our lives that will keep us from experiencing God's best. It won't keep us from God's love. It won't separate us from God's love. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. I didn't say nothing can separate you from God. I said nothing can separate you from the love of God. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, the difference is darkness and light. I mean, it's worlds apart. You mean, I could love my children and want to bless them and do all kind of things for them, but if they want no relationship with me, it makes it pretty difficult, doesn't it? You know, if I was to call, I said, well, I'm going to call them up, and I'm going to give them, you know, I know they need a car. I got an extra one. I'm going to call them up today and give them a car. Well, they won't answer my call. When I call out to them, they won't answer, then I can't help them. I got no contact with them. I can't help them. See, I still, that doesn't change the way I feel about them. And I'm not talking about my own kids here. I'm just using this for an illustration. But without the fellowship, there's a disconnect in the blessing. Not a disconnect in the love, but a disconnect in the blessing. And we want to live our lives in such a way that we get to experience everything God has for us. Amen. And that God's presence is literally pushing away the things that try to attach themselves to our lives that are not from God. Because that's what we need. You know, if I've got something in my life that keeps causing me to stumble, and somebody will say, well, that's sinful. If I have a sin in my life, a thing in my life, whatever, and it's causing me to stumble, and other people, it's like, oh, you need to get rid of that. The thing I need to do is not focus on that. I need to focus on him. If I'm more and more in love, the more love of God I've got in my life, the less place there is for darkness to hide. And that's really the whole key to Christian living, is just to be filled and filled and filled and filled. Don't tell me about how you got filled with the Holy Spirit back yonder. I want to know, are you filled now? And have you been filled today? And are you being filled consistently? And I don't know about you, but I'm leaky. Monica was leaking a while ago out of her eyes. She started praying before we got started. She started leaking out of her eyes. I think it was an attitude of gratitude. You know, I don't think she was pouting and crying. I think she was worshiping with those tears of gratitude. And that's, we need that. If she ever forgets that, if you ever forget that intimacy and that love and that passion with the Lord, you're headed down a slippery slope to a bad place. We've got to keep our passion. We've got to keep our fervor. And you're going to have times where you're going to be up and you're going to be down and you're going to be somewhere in between. But you always, and I always have the choice that, you know, when I feel myself, my fire's diminishing a little bit, you know. Think about this, man. You go camping, your campfire's big and glowing, it's wonderful, it's warm. It begins to diminish. What are you going to do about it? Sit there and watch it diminish? Not me, baby. I'm getting another log. I'm going to go back to the source of the fire, which in our spiritual case is God himself. I'm going to go spend some time with him. I'm going to spend some time in his word, and I'm going to put another log on my spiritual fire. And the reason why I want to make sure I do that, there's the number one reason is for me. Me. I want an intimate, passionate, fired up love life with my Savior Jesus Christ. I couldn't care less about religion. I don't even consider Christianity to be a religion. I realize it is. I get that. I'm not saying Christianity is not a religion, but I don't like the word religion because to me religion represents rituals and form and this and that, and I'm more about relationship. I believe Jesus didn't come to establish a religion. I believe he came to reinstate a relationship that Adam and Eve had when they walked in the cool of the garden before sin came. Before sin came, I believe that God just loved the fellowship that he had with us, Adam and Eve, humans. You know, we were created for his pleasure. And when we're separated from him, he grieves. And so he's wanted to do everything he can to reinstate us to that. So today, I believe probably if you're listening to me, more than likely you're a person who wants God's will done in your life. You probably have faith in Jesus Christ as a forgiver of your sins and a savior of your soul. So here's a word for us to begin with in James chapter 3. And I'm going to begin with in the Passion Translation, just because I love the way the Passion Translators translated this verse. It's chapter 3 and verse 13 of James. James 3:13. And I think the NIV, if I remember right, has something to do with religious. If anyone considers himself religious, I didn't even look at it in the NIV or the King James or anything else this morning. The Lord led me to this. So maybe Monica can read it from her Bible when she gets there. She's working on it. Pages are all highlighted. I'm looking over there to see if she's been highlighting. 3:13. Monica, will you read that for us? 3:13. Yeah.
Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. Kay. By deeds done and the humility that comes from wisdom.
Amen. Listen to this in the Passion Translation. If you consider yourself to be wise and one who understands the ways of God, advertise it with a beautiful, fruitful life guided by wisdom's gentleness. Advertise it. Advertise it with a beautiful, fruitful life guided by wisdom's gentleness. Now, there's another scripture in the book of James. I'm going to find this one because I didn't have it in my notes. See how fast I can get there. I don't know. Not too fast, but if anyone considers himself to be righteous, this is the verse I'm looking for. It talks about the faith that God honors. Some of you probably already know where I'm going, but I'm going to get there. If you find it, tell me, huh? Okay, that's it. 126, yeah. If anyone considers, James 1:26, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself. His religion is worthless. Religion, verse 27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. And what else? To keep yourself from being polluted by the world. Now you tie that with the verse we read. Advertise. If you consider yourself to be a person who knows the ways of God, who knows God, then advertise it by the way you live. over here in chapter 1, he's talking about if you consider yourself to be religious or having a relationship with God, then prove it by the way you live your life. Let your faith be demonstrated and shown. I'm going to see how the Passion Translation says this one. If someone believes they have a relationship with God but fails to guard their words, then their heart is drifting away. Their religion is shallow and empty. But true spirituality is pure in the eyes of the Father, making a difference in the lives of orphans and widows in their trouble, and to refuse to be corrupted by the world's values. To refuse that. So the way we live matters. Somebody will say, well, you know what? I mean, I'm saved by grace through faith. It's a gift from God. It's not from me. God's grace saves me, brother. I don't have to live up to this or that or the other. I agree, God's grace saves us, and his mercy saves us. Without that, we'd all be lost. But because of God's grace, he gives us the opportunity to come into a relationship with him and be filled with his Holy Spirit, to have eyes that can see in his word. Did you ever read the Bible before you really knew Jesus? And it was just, oh my gosh, you were just looking at it, and it was like it about as well been written in a foreign language almost. You could read some of the things now that you read, and they're so simple, and they're so obvious, but you read them then, and you just didn't get it because your eyes were blinded. You were not born again. You did not have the Holy Spirit, but now we've been given, because of the grace and mercy of Jesus, we've been given the Holy Spirit, and we have eyes to see, and we have ears to hear. So we need to live differently. We need to walk differently. We need to be that living advertisement. We don't realize it sometimes. We don't realize that other people are watching us. And you say, well, big deal. That's their issue. You know, there's always going to be somebody watching you who thinks you don't measure up. I don't care what you're doing. You could be honoring God perfectly with your life, doing everything that God has told you to do, and somebody else will think it's not enough. So I'm not talking about living to please people. But I am talking about living in a way that if they want to accuse you of something, it's going to have to be something that is not with your relationship with Jesus. The number one thing we need to do is know how to walk in love. And somebody said, well, love is inclusive, and love tolerates all kinds of things. Went, really? That's not how my parents showed me love. That's not what the Bible says God shows us love by. Father God is a father who disciplines us for our own good, not out of his anger. Thank God he refrained his anger. He put his anger on Jesus on the cross. But he does bring a correction to our lives. And the thing that we need to do to honestly live our faith and to be the advertisement for God more than anything else, fellowship with him. Fellowship with him. If you're not taking time in your life to spend time fellowshipping with the Lord, it's going to be pretty hard to go around advertising for him when you really don't spend time with him. So we give this, if we're not careful, we give this false image out of who God really is. And that's why a lot of people, honestly, that's why a lot of people don't like God, because they got the wrong impression. And we want to just be an opportunity today, and we can't control people's response. But we want to give people an opportunity to see God loves you. Not just for us to say God loves you, but we want to have an opportunity for us to see God loves you. If someone's hurting and there's something we can do about it, we should do it. Amen. In order to live that way, though, we're going to have to learn how to live by the Word of God. So I want to kind of shift gears. I want to take you to the Gospel of John in the 4th chapter. And this still has to do with being a living advertisement for God, because it has to do with the victory and the breakthrough in your life. Your testimony of victory. Sometimes people give testimonies. I think they thought we said testagronies. I don't want to hear your testagrony. I want to hear your victory. I want to hear your victory report. You know? And listen, sometimes victory looks different. You see, well, Pastor, I don't always get the victory, and, you know, I'm not always on the top, you know, whatever. It's like, I get it, yeah, we're in the battle. But your victory is your attitude in the battle. I know someone right now who's got stage 4 cancer in her lungs, and the lung keeps filling up with fluid. starts coughing and can't quit. You ever coughed where you can't quit? Take about 5 minutes of that and your chest just aches and hurts. Well, this person that I'm referring to is have coughing spells where it literally cannot stop coughing for hours. And I can only imagine, and I pray I never experience, but I can only imagine how painful that is and how discouraging that could be. But the person that I'm talking about, just as is, he said, I can't lose. My faith is in Jesus. He said, I'm not going to lie. I want more time on this earth. I want more time with my sweet wife. I want more time on this earth. But I know this, I can't lose. Because he's either going to give me the healing that I need, or I'm going to be with him. And over there, and he told me this, and over there, Joe Biden ain't president. That's what he told me. Don't blame me. See, his sense of humor is intact. His spirit is strong. And he's fighting a good fight of faith. And I'm fighting with him. And his name is John Ternes. So you want to pray for him, you pray for John. We're going to read the Gospel of John, so that ought to help us remember. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes in the middle of the battle, even when it doesn't look like victory, but just because you have faith in Jesus, you have a great testimony. I want to see John get that miracle. I'm believing with him. He's getting a miracle no matter what. Amen? You can't have faith in Jesus Christ and not get a miracle. If you take God at his word, you're getting a miracle. It may or may not be the miracle you think you should get. But you can't go wrong taking God at his word. You're going to get a miracle. Praise the Lord. And everything that you might be worried about or concerned about, you say, well, if it don't go this way, then da 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 da. God's got a plan for all of that. Amen? If I were to be worried about what would happen to my wife or to my children or to my church or to this or to that or whatever, if I wasn't able, is that not? I'm not using my faith to trust God for every detail. I want to trust God for every detail. Amen? So in order to do that, I got to learn to take him at his word. And listen, earth is your place. Earth is your training ground for eternity. The just shall live by faith. Four times in the scripture, two in the old, two in the new, the just shall live by faith. This is where we learn how to live by faith. You know what about living by faith means? It means that you hear from God and you respond to God. Bada bing. That's what it means to live by faith, is to believe that God is love, that he cares, that he has the power, that he is good, and that you should never doubt him because he's God. And living by faith just is, oh, okay, well, since you said it, God. That's what living by faith looks like. And I like this. I heard this acronym for the Bible. It says BIBLE is basic instruction before leaving earth. This is where we get our instructions from. But we're here on earth to have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to learn how to let God love us even in these circumstances and show his love to others. And it's a training ground. Eternity is a long, long time. This is just a brief little comma in our grand sentence of life, this time that we spend here. But we've got to learn how to live by God's word. John chapter 4. We're going to start reading verse 46, and we're going to go through 53. That's our text. John 4, verse 46 through 53. Praise the Lord. Once more, he, Jesus, visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. And when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and he begged him to come and heal his son. He begged him to come and heal his son. He's desperate. His son was close to death. Verse 46, Jesus answered, unless you people see miracles and signs and wonders, you'll never believe. That almost sounds like no, doesn't it? He says, I need you to come and heal my son. And he begged him. Now I want you to get this. He begged him, come, heal my son. He begged him, come, come, come heal my son. He's so close to death. I need you to come now. And Jesus responded and said, unless you people see miracles, signs, and wonders, you'll never believe. And the royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. He just, boy, he's adamant. And Jesus replied, you may go. Your son will live. And the man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on the way, his servant met him in the news that the boy was living. And when he inquired as to what time his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. That's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And the father realized that it was the exact time at which Jesus said to him, your son will live. So he and all his household believed. In other words, they put their faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful story? But how do you think it would go if it went this way? The royal official comes and he said, Jesus, I've heard all about you laying your hands on people and how they get sick. I heard about how you healed Peter's mother-in-law. You just touched her with your hand and the fever left her. You rebuked that fever left. She got up and cooked. I mean, you've healed the lame, the lepers, the blind. I know you're the healer. I know you have the answer. And I need you to come like now because my son is desperate. And Jesus said, unless you people see, you people. Remember the guy's the royal official. He said, unless you people see signs and wonders and miracles, you won't believe. And the royal official said, I need you to come now. And Jesus said, you can leave. Your son will live. He got a choice to make, don't he? Because when he came, correct me if I'm wrong, but when he came, he had it all figured out. I mean, thank God I've never come to Jesus that way. <You know. laughs> Haven't we all come to the Lord and our idea of prayer was to go tell God what he needed to do? Ouch, that hurt my toe. Man, that's how we pray more often than not. More often than not, our idea of prayer is to go get with God and line him out. Neva. I just thought I'd throw that in there. I'm in trouble now.
She just pulled it.
I'm gonna be gone before she gets here. She'll forget by 2 weeks. No, listen, we are all this dude right here, man. I can't even tell you how many times that I've had it all figured out. I can tell you how many times that I've had it all figured out and God did it exactly that way. None, not once, not ever, not none, never, never, never have I had it. This is how I think it's going to go. This is what you need to do. Never once have I ever stopped and figured it out and went and told God what he needed to do. Did he actually do it that way? Not once, not once. And I'm going to just hazard a guess. I bet that testimony's true for every one of us. But I've gone to God. Listen, you say, well, you mean I'm supposed to just go to God and I'm just supposed to, what am I supposed to do if I can't tell him what I need? I can't tell him what needs to be done. Well, you need to go and bring the need before him in faith, knowing that he knows exactly what needs to be done. And then listen for here's the key to receiving. It's not me telling him what needs to be done. It's him telling me what needs to be done. Boom, that's big right there. It's prayer ought to be more about hearing than it is telling. Did you get that, Dwight? I think I did. Prayer ought to be more about me going before the Lord and honoring him for who he is, knowing that he's got it all, he knows it all. Listen, you don't ever give God information. You realize that? This going on in my family, this going on, they said this, they didn't. Do you not think God knows all that? He knows all of it and more. He knows more about it than you'll ever know about it. And if someone's doing something that's causing someone else pain, I guarantee you this, their pain is Jesus' pain. And he is well aware of their situation. You say, well, why does he allow things to happen? He allows things to happen, trials and tests, to bring us to the place where we are desperate for him the same way this father. There's no evidence whatsoever that if this man's son was not lying at the point of death, that this man would have, why wasn't this man already following Jesus? You want to know why he wasn't already following Jesus? Because he wasn't already desperate enough. And I'm going to tell you what, I know what brought me to my Savior. Desperation. And God uses your desperation to bring you to a place of devotion. So today, listen to me. Don't despise your desperation. Use it. Use it. You don't have to be desperate for God to hear you. He hears you all the time, or even when he don't want to. But use your desperation to cause you to realize that you are not self-sufficient. You're not. You weren't created to be self-sufficient. You're not self-sufficient. You'll never be self-sufficient. You need Jesus, and he made you that way because he wants you to need him. But he doesn't want us to be, he doesn't want us to come to him knowing that, well, this is how it's got to be. I love the fact that this, in this case, Jesus didn't just go, oh, okay, I'll go with you right now and we'll do it your way. I love it that Jesus didn't do that because it teaches me something. The man begged Jesus. He's a royal official. He's probably used to having things done his way. He's a royal, what? Official. Come with me. My son's lying at the point of death. I need you to come heal him. I know you can. I believe you will. That's why I'm asking. I know you can. I believe you will. That's faith. But it's faith my way. Not faith his way. Come with me now. Jesus said, you can go. Your son will live. What did the man do? The Bible says he took him at his word. Now, see, right there is where a lot of people's verse stop. I take him at his word. Yes, sir, my son will live. My son will live. Yes, sir, my son will live. Come on, let's go. Did you catch that? He's still standing there waiting. Yeah, I know you said my son will live. I've locked in on that. Yes, my son's going to live. Amen, hallelujah. Come on, Jesus, let's go. Jesus said, no, you may go. Your son will live. Now, you got to decide, do you really believe that? I mean, I've got it all in my mind that it has to go down this way. If it's going to be, God has to do it this way. God said, no, you just go, and I've already taken care of it. And the man left. He quit begging. Get ready, and we're going to pause for a break. He quit begging and started believing. We can't let our prayer life be a beggar's life. We need to let our prayer life be a believer's life where we don't go and boss God around. So I would never do that. Ha ha. Get real with yourself. You do it all the time. I'm talking to me and Monica.
I got my feet up.
Feet up. She knows me. She goes, Pastor Dwight's coming. I'm getting my steel-toed boots on.
You look to see if I really did. I really do. I'm joking.
But see, I don't say things like that to stomp toes, but, man, I need it that way. I don't know about you, but I need it straight up. And we cannot get anywhere in life by being beggars. We're going somewhere in life by being believers. Our life's going to advertise God's goodness when we take him at his word and see his will be done. Not when we're just being beggars that are not receiving it because we want it done our way in our time. Now, we're going to go before God here. We're going to take some prayer requests. We're not going to beg him. We're going to thank him. That's what we're going to do. It says, don't be anxious about anything but prayer, petition, supplication. Make your request known to God with thanksgiving. That's what we're going to do. If you want us to do that for you, you make sure and get your prayer request in because we're going to thank God for your answer. And we're going to allow him to do it however he wants to. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.